I'm Pastor Kerry Willis, and it's with a heart overflowing with joy that I welcome you to today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks.
I'm Grayson Willis. We're so glad that you've joined us on the front porch today. We pray that today's program will be a half hour of hope for your life.
Hope is what we all need. And you know what? That's what the Christmas season is all about. We're in our second week of Christmas season broadcasting. Last Sunday was the first Sunday of Advent, and today is the second Sunday of Advent. Advent is that season that leads us up to Christmas. The word Advent means arrival or expectation. And so we are celebrating the expectation, the arrival of King Jesus the baby, who came some 2,000 years ago. But guess what? We're also in a different Advent season now. We are expecting the return of that baby king, who is now the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he will return again to earth. He came the first time, and mark it down, he's coming the second time. And that is our hope for all of us who love him and look to him. This is our hope. And so we're in the Christmas season. Last week, Grace and I just sort of had a front porch talk. We just sort of talked about the things of Christmas, and that worked so well that we're going to do it again this week. You know, I want to reissue an invitation. Don't celebrate Christmas alone. If you don't have family, if you don't have a church family, we invite you to celebrate the Christmas season with us at our local church, Harrisonburg First Church of the Nazarene, 1871 Boyers Road, just east of Harrisonburg. We are having services 9 o'clock and 10:30 every Sunday leading up to Christmas. And then at noon, we have a Spanish-speaking service as well. And then on Christmas weekend, we will be having a Saturday night Christmas Eve service at 6 p.m., candlelight service. This will be in English. And then also, we will be having a 10:30 English service on Sunday morning, a Christmas Day service, and then at noon, also a Spanish service. So just get the word out. But the main thing I wanted to do was make sure you know you're invited to a local church family. You know, Christmas is about family. It's about the Holy Family, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. You know, this was the family that brought the faith to us in Bethlehem on that first Christmas morning. And even if you don't have family per se, we want you to find family at a local church. Maybe you have options at another local church where Jesus is lifted up. You go and be with that local church family during this season. But if you don't have a place to go, why don't you just, during this season of Christmas, just give our local church an opportunity to celebrate Christmas alongside you. I think it will be an invitation that you'll be glad you said yes to. It's not intimidation, it is invitation. Now, with that said, we're going to move on into today's conversation. Grayson, my son, and I'm his dad, of course, we host this program week after week. And some of you may not have realized that we are father and son. And so Christmas and Easter and different seasons of the year are very special for us to share because we get to share personal stories from our own family. Before I do that, I want to just begin with a little short Christmas story. It's titled, Casting the Christmas Play. Announcement about a school Christmas play in Memphis read like this. All of the cast will be played by members of the 8th grade, except for the baby Jesus, who will be played by a concealed 40-watt light bulb. You gotta love that. You know, Jesus, one of the titles that he goes by and went by, Light of the World. And so I love Christmas plays when instead of putting a rubber baby doll in the manger, they just brighten that manger up with a light bulb. And you can't beat the idea of Jesus, the light of the world, who came to illuminate our darkness and to take away our sin so that he could come and be our everything, even our eternal life. Grayson, when you think about Jesus as the light of the world, what kind of ideas come to your mind?
Well, I think about how without him, the world would be dark, and without him, the world is dark. And so that's why I think he's called the light of the world, because he brought light to the world. And certainly we know he brought light to his own people, the Jewish people. He was their savior first and foremost, but now he's the savior of the world, and he came to be the savior of the world, not just the savior for some people, but the savior for all people. So he brings light to all of us. who choose to believe in Him and accept Him as our Savior and accept Him into our lives.
Exactly. And our lives would have no light at all if it were not for the light of the world. We were lost in darkness, but Father God sent His Son to bring the light of His love to us in our lost condition. And this is why we celebrate Christmas. Christmas is very important. You know, we had Thanksgiving a few weeks ago, and we had the first week of Advent where we kind of kick off our celebration, the anticipation of celebrating Jesus the baby king and remembering that He's coming back again as the King of Kings. And then we come to the second week of Advent, and by now, hopefully, the Christmas spirit, I say that with a capital S, the Christmas spirit, the spirit of Jesus, I pray that that spirit is lifting your heart, lifting your life even, and making you to know that Christmas matters. Now, in our family, we love Christmas. My daughter and I seem to be a little more locked in on it than the normal people. What I mean is we're a little abnormal when it comes about Christmas, and we're kind of proud of it. But we always say the saddest day of the year is the day after Christmas. It's just the way we feel. Now, we know that Christ has come every day, but we love Christmas. We anticipate it. My daughter's grown now. She lives down in North Carolina, has a great job and great husband there. And I'm the new grandfather to a grand dog. I didn't know that you could be a granddad to a grand dog, but she got her a new puppy. His name's Riley, and he is precious. He'll be on her Christmas card this year. You can count on that. But we always start playing the Christmas music, Allison and I, real early in the year. I mean, we've been known to play Christmas music on summer vacation. And so what I'm saying is that Christmas is a season to be celebrated. You might not be as radical as my daughter and I are about it. You don't need to be. But what I'm saying is we should be anticipating what this season is all about. Because without the light of the world stepping out of heaven and into our darkness, we would be people who are hopeless. And so, Grayson, when you think about heaven, you think about light. And when you think about Jesus stepping out, you think about the light of heaven becoming the light of the world. And so when you think about hope, Grayson, the word hope, how would you tie Christmas to that? How in the world would hope be correlated with the idea of Christmas?
Well, Jesus is the light of the world. He's also the hope of the world. And I know you've said before that hope has a name, and the name is Jesus. And we already mentioned that Christmas wouldn't happen if it wasn't for Jesus, God sending His Son Jesus to be born on this earth. So if Jesus is the light of the world and He's the hope of the world, then certainly Christmas not just brings light to the world, but it brings hope to the world. It brings hope of eternal life. It brings hope of forgiveness. It brings hope in any area people need hope in, they can find it in Jesus. So that's how you find hope at Christmas time.
And we say often on this program, Grayson, that hope has a name, and hope is Jesus. You know, hope has a capital H on it, because hope is the name of the light of the world. He came into our seemingly hopeless situation, and He brought salvation. And so we may be seemingly hopeless, but we're not hopeless, because we have a Savior who has come to lead us out of our darkness if we will only be attentive to His invitation. If we will only turn our back on sin and turn our face to Him, then we will understand more and more why Christmas is so essential to our yearly calendar. It is so very important. There is a story titled The Miracle of the Virgin Birth, and C.S. Lewis kind of wrote these words. I say it's a story, it's a little bit more of a paragraph, but either way, you'll understand why I want to read it. The grounds for belief and disbelief are the same today as they were 2,000 years ago. If Joseph had lacked faith to trust God or humility to perceive the holiness of his spouse, he could have disbelieved in the miraculous origin of her son as easily as any modern man. And any modern man who believes in God can accept the miracle as easily as Joseph did. So I know that some people have trouble believing that Jesus came to be the light of the world. Well, guess what? You're not the first person to have trouble with that. Joseph had some trouble believing, but he was convinced, praise God, he was convinced that the baby within the virgin that he was pledged to be married to, Mary, that that baby was God's baby. He was even told to name the baby Jesus. And so it's easy to disbelieve in Christmas, but I think it's easier to believe because when we sense the hopelessness of our world, we know how desperately we are in need of a Savior. And when we begin to seek God, He promised that when you seek me with all of your heart, you will find me. And that must have been what Joseph did on that first Christmas. Did he have questions? You better believe he did. There's a song titled, What a Strange Way to Save the World. I mean, he looked at what God was doing, bringing a baby through the birth canal of a lowly virgin girl in Nazareth. It was a really remarkable thing, and it was a strange way to save the world. But I'll tell you what, being saved is what matters. It doesn't matter if it's strange. It just matters that it happens. And so when we're in this Christmas season, I pray that we'll spend some time increasing our faith because we know that we were in desperate need and we have sought the face of God. And he has assured us, just like he assured Joseph, that his son was born as our salvation. Grayson, what are some thoughts on your mind when you think about how we were lost and we couldn't help ourselves, but God took that in his own hands and sent his son to be our Savior?
Well, Dad, it's amazing just to think about how he loved all of us, even those who didn't love God or didn't serve God. He even sent Jesus to be born to this earth to die for those, like it says, who were sinners. And we were all at one point sinners. So it's just amazing that he would give his one and only son whom he loved, who was without sin, who was innocent, who he would send him to this earth to live a life as a human being, just like me, just like you, and to die a death that he didn't deserve just so that we could spend eternity in heaven if we choose to ask Christ into our life and to ask him to forgive us of our sins. And also, as you were talking about Joseph and how he chose to believe something that would seem very unbelievable, that a virgin is having a baby and that she didn't have, you know, a relationship with another guy and that she didn't cheat on him. Certainly if Joseph was able to believe that, being that no virgin had ever had a baby before, certainly we can believe that after reading the story in the Bible, and certainly we can accept Christ. Joseph had great faith, and we can emulate his faith and learn from his faith and have that kind of faith, I believe, today.
That's right. It's a simple faith, Grayson. And that's why Jesus said, as an adult teacher, when he was teaching, he said, unless you become as a child, you will not enter the kingdom. And I think that unless we become children, we really cannot accept Christmas or the Christmas story. It's such a simple, profound belief that we just must exercise faith for it to be ours. And you know, children are the ones who enjoy Christmas. And what I hope is in my heart that the little boy who always loved Christmas will always love Christmas. Because Christmas is for children of all ages. And something you said, Grayson, about forgiveness there a minute ago, that God gave his son to forgive us. Certainly Christmas must be a season of forgiveness. I mean, we are forgiven so much by God. He forgives us for our sins. He forgives us for shaking our fist in his face. He forgives us for not receiving his son as our Savior earlier in life. And so with all the forgiveness that he has extended to us through the Christ child, certainly we can be like the Christ child at Christmas and be those who also forgive. In other words, I don't think there's any greater gift that we can give or receive in the season of Christmas, or any season for that matter, but especially in the season of Christmas, no greater gift than the gift of forgiveness. And so think about that for a moment. Is there someone in your life that you haven't truly forgiven? Wouldn't this be a great season of the year to unload that burden and to just forgive and to turn that bitter into better? And maybe there's someone that needs to forgive you. And wouldn't it be a great season to approach someone and to just say, would you forgive me? It goes both ways. We can either forgive others or we can allow others to forgive us. This is a beautiful gift of Christmas, often overlooked. But I believe it's very important that we think about this on this second week of Advent, that we can anticipate a Savior coming to forgive us so we can be forgiven and so we can also forgive others and also be forgiven by others. So when you think about forgiveness and Christmas, Grayson, do you see the beautiful ties between those two ideas?
Yes, Dad, and the Bible even says that. It says in the prayer that he taught his disciples to pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And it also says in the Bible that if we don't forgive others, he won't forgive us. But we shouldn't forgive others just so we can get forgiven. We should want to extend forgiveness to those who have wronged us, because I've heard before that unforgiveness is just keeping us prisoner, just keeping us captive. It's not hurting the person that hurt us. It's only hurting us even more by not forgiving people and not letting go of that hurt.
That's a beautiful, beautiful idea, Grayson. That forgiveness may be the gift we give to others, but forgiveness is more so the gift we give to ourselves. So this Christmas season, if you're thinking about a gift for yourself, how about forgiveness? And sometimes we need to forgive ourselves. You know, there are people that have come to God for forgiveness, but they have trouble forgiving themselves, even though God has forgiven them. And Christmas is a beautiful season that we can look at the manger and say, wow, I don't know everything that it means when I look in the manger and see the baby king, the one sent from heaven to earth. But one thing I surely know it must mean is that I'm forgiven. Certainly it means that. You know, in the little town of Bethlehem, where I've traveled about 12, 13 times in my life, and I plan to go again in March, and I love to go to Bethlehem over in the Holy Land. But in Bethlehem, they have these carvers. They carve out of wood, olive wood, and they carve scenes from the Bible. And one of their most spectacular carvings, of course, would be of the Nativity in Bethlehem. It would be of Mary and Joseph, the baby, the shepherds, the wise men, the sheep, you know, the cows, the whole nine yards. They carved the stables and this and that. But one characteristic of many of the Bethlehem carvers is when they carve Jesus in the little manger, there's two specific things they love to make sure of. Number one is that you can pick Jesus out of the cradle. He's not like crazy glued into the manger. The second idea is that his hands are open wide and his feet are crossed. Now think about that for a moment. What the Bethlehem carvers are reminding us of is this. Number one, Jesus was born to die. So you got to get him out of that cradle. And second of all, he was born to die by crucifixion. He was born to die so that we could live. And this is the beauty of forgiveness. And when we've been given such a forgiveness by God, how would we dare withhold forgiveness from others? But you say, Pastor, you don't know what they did to me. Oh, I don't know, and I'm sure it was bad. And my heart is broken that you've been hurt. But as Grayson said earlier, if we harbor forgiveness, we are imprisoning ourselves. And so this Christmas, I just want to emphasize that forgiveness is the greatest gift next to Jesus. But Jesus is the gift of forgiveness from heaven. So it's kind of one and the same. There is no greater gift at Christmas time than the gift of being forgiven and extending forgiveness to others. You know, Jesus, when he taught us to pray, one of the beautiful lines in that great prayer, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespassed against us." And so these are just beautiful ideas as we're in the second week of Advent. And I pray that something will spark in your heart, and it won't just be words that you hear, but these will be words that bring healing and even usher in forgiveness in your life, in the lives of those in your circle. This would be a very wonderful, effective Christmas season if just one person in our framework, in our families, in our neighborhood, wherever, was given the gift of forgiveness. It would be worth the whole Christmas season if this would be the season we would forgive ourselves. It would be worth the whole Christmas season if during this season we would receive forgiveness from God through the baby king, King Jesus, born in Bethlehem. Grayson, are any other things you'd like to add to this conversation?
Yeah, Dad, certainly. It doesn't matter what you've done in your life or how far you think you are from God. As long as you're living, it's not too late to turn back to him and accept his forgiveness and accept the life that he offers through his son. And there's no time like the present, and certainly there's no better time than Christmas time to do that. And we would invite you to come back to him this Christmas season, and we would encourage you to do so. And it's just great talking about Christmas, and we mentioned that it's great for us to talk about the holiday seasons and all the family memories that we have, and certainly Christmas is one of the best times of the year to reminisce about old times and to think about family memories and to think about all that Jesus has done for us, for me, and for Dad, and for our family. And we pray that you feel Christ at Christmas and feel him this Christmas in particular.
And yes, that he would be the realized presence in your holy days. So I can say to you, blessed holy days. Or I can say to you, the Bethlehem boy brings beautiful joy. Or I could say to you, the gift from Father God sent from heaven above is that you would be forgiven and that you would be able to forgive others. There's a couple songs on my mind that we've kind of referenced today as we've been talking here on Front Porch Talks. And I think you'll pick up on the reference when you hear the songs. I pray that these songs will go deep in your heart and that this message will go deep in your soul and that it will be something that will make your Christmas more wonderful than it might have been had you not tuned in to Front Porch Talks. At the conclusion of these songs, the prayer that Grayson and I have for you is that you will believe in your heart that today's program has been a half hour of hope for your life, and that hope would be in the one called the Light of the World. He came, yep, it was a strange way to save the world, but he came to save the world, and he came to save you, and he came to save me. So all I can say about that is, I'm glad we have Christmas. God bless your holy days.
The two songs that we have for you today is Jim Cole singing his song, Light of the World, and Sheila Muskin singing, O Holy Night.
Light of the world, my heart is yours. I long to serve you as my Lord. I long to walk in your ways. I long to know you. You are a refuge for my soul, a river of life where healing flows, a giver of sight to the blind. So many sad, sad things, but the hope for the broken-hearted ones has risen with healing in his wings to bring light to the world. Light of the world, my thanks to you for all of the things you've brought me through, guiding my steps with your eyes, leading me homeward. All that I am or hope to be is a kind of a friend you've been to me, faithful in all of your ways. I worship you. Light of the world, my eyes have seen so many sad, sad things, but the hope for the broken-hearted ones is risen with healing in his wings to bring light to the world.
Oh, holy night, the of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till He appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn.
Today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks is sponsored by Sunshine Ministries.